thought I was a dead man. My whole life just passed before me there. Thank you. Well, I get to say hello to you twice tonight. Sort of a double portion for me anyway. Thank you. Thank you. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Father, we just ask you to come and touch this word, touch our hearts that we might receive, our ears that we might hear what you're saying. Lord, that these words would become life to us. Lord, that they would be milk, bread, and meat, and strong meat to whosoever, Lord, as you see fit, not as I or anyone else sees fit, that everyone would be touched. I appreciate everyone here. Thank you for us all being here and the sacrifice that people make for us and for you, Lord. It does not go unnoticed, even if I miss it. You never do. Praise your name. So, Lord, may we all be changed. May we all fall in love with you again this night as we see you. We see you in your word, by your spirit. And tonight I pray that we would see you in each other. In Jesus' name, be glorified above all things. Well, I don't know if all of you have heard, but Lisa got real sick yesterday. She'd been getting sick for days, and she ended up in the hospital. And again, you know, we go into bad times, and we go through hard, narrow spots, and it's not comfortable. It's not, you know, I'm as wimpy as you can get. I like it easy, you know, just let everything get out of my way. And I don't want any trouble. But you know what? That's where we get our best. You know, there's no victory without a battle, is there? There's no, there's no testimony without something happening, right? You know? And so, again, out of that, you know, Lisa's got a testimony, her side of, I've got mine. Ephesians 3:20 says that he will give exceedingly abundantly more. There's three adjectives about abundance there. He'll give that all to us, exceedingly abundantly more than we ask for or imagine. And so I called Pauline last night. I said, would you come and turn my car around so I can get in it? Then I can turn it around so Lisa can get in it, because I'm not sure, but I might be taking her to the hospital tonight. And she insisted, no, I'll take her to the hospital. So I have a testimony of God's provision through her. No doubt there are every one of you are part of a testimony that God has used you. And this place I used to work, I used to have a few, there'd be a resident once in a while. He'd be there a couple weeks doing pretty good. I'd come in Monday and say, Brother Ron, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'd say, why? Well, you know, nobody helped me carry the donations all weekend. And anytime they called, the other ones watched TV or slept or whatever, and they never helped. And I feel very used, and I'm leaving. And I would say to them, well, what did Jesus do to you anyway? I mean, if God really brought you here, I'm not saying that the mission or any ministry is the only place in town. That's not true. Christ is the only God in creation. That's what's true. And so, I said, what did Jesus do to you that you'd want to leave if he brought you here? And you'd say, well, nothing. But look at, and I said, well, he didn't do anything to you. Why are you leaving? I said, as far as being used, Jesus Christ is the most used being there ever was and ever will be on earth. And if you feel used, you're in real good company, aren't you? And our prayer should be, here I am, use me more. More. It seems, you know, I get into these things. I remember a few years ago I was really down, and, you know, some people would say it was burnout. I don't know if it was or not. But, you know, everything was just an effort to me. And I was grumbling in my heart about something, doing something that night. And I said, finally, you know, I was convicted of my murmuring and complaining. And I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to this thing. Whether I like it or not, I'm going. So why don't I just make the best of it? Stop my whining. So, Lord, I know you're going to go with me because you want to help this guy more than I want to. And I want to. But, Lord, you love him more than I ever could imagine. And so please, that night I reckoned myself as a co-laborer with Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 3:9 says. We are co-workers with them. And it listed this tremendous, it changed my life. I read that. I shared that verse, I don't know how many times. But it changed my life, my whole attitude about helping. You know, what am I going to do? Sit here and watch television? I mean, you know, I was mad one, there's another time I was mad. It sounds like true confessions up here tonight. I didn't mean it to be, but I wanted to watch this show real bad. I watched it every night, every weeknight, whatever it was, Wednesday or Thursday, and I couldn't wait to get home from midweek Bible study, you know, and the guy's up there looking, and somebody died, and I had to go to the wake, and it was way out in Sodus or someplace that night, and I missed my show. It was just terrible. And I whined about that in my heart, and I mean, I was too spiritual to ever say it openly, you know. And I whined about that, and I went to the wake, and I come home, and it was about 10 o'clock the next morning, and I'm working on this roof, and lo and behold, I remembered I missed my show. And I thought, what's the, how could the sun come up in the east after I missed my show? And the Lord spoke very clearly. You know, he lets us go on this leash for on and on, you know, and then all of a sudden, he gives it to us. And he said, you can't name without stopping the 10 best shows or 10 great shows you've ever seen on television. And I thought, I said, and I couldn't. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't watch TV. What the Lord says to you is what you should or shouldn't watch. I'm just saying, I wish he played that card on me years before. It would have saved me a lot of heartache and grumbling and murmuring. You see, he's always got that card, doesn't he? When he throws it, it's the end of the game. And so, I've got a testimony. Lisa's got a testimony. I've got a testimony, all of you guys praying and supporting me over the years. And you know what? Sometimes I'm helpless, and people come to my aid. You see, but you know what? If there wasn't something wrong with me, or if I wasn't lacking something, I wouldn't have a testimony. And so, I guess that might be part of the application of Paul saying, I'll glory in tribulation and persecution and all that, hardships. Why? Because it gives God a chance, Jesus a chance to be exalted. And so let me read to you from Revelation 12:11. It says, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, they overcome the devil. He's, you know, he's our sworn enemy. The Bible proves it time and time again from Genesis 3 on to the end of this book, Revelation. Now, how do we overcome him? By going to church every time it opens? No. By the blood of the Lamb. There is no other way. There is no other way. But and what is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world? He bled his blood for us. And in that is total, complete redemption. Not just heaven. When I say just, I don't mean to belittle it. It's the most important decision any soul could ever make. But our deliverance, our healing, our joy, our peace. Who can buy joy or peace here? Anybody? Nah. A waste of time. I wasted 30 years of my life trying to find it in a, well, not, I wasn't a drunk when I was 3, but, you know, long enough. And you know, we run all around looking for things. If you knew me back before, I couldn't tell you what I was looking for, but I was looking real hard. I was trying all this stuff, and if it didn't work, I just figured I needed more. I wasn't drinking enough. And then Jesus came in my life. I didn't ask him for a long time. You know, he has his ways. And then he just loved me. He accepted me where I was. He took me along. And then what did he do? It was years off that before I realized, I'm sitting there one day thinking, wow, what joy and peace you have. What love you have. What? And then it dawned on me, that's what I was looking for all that time. So I'd like to save, if there's anybody that doesn't know him, I'd like to save you a lot of tears and heartache and frustration. But consider him as your Savior and Lord. He can give you things, you know, the richest men on earth cannot buy what he's got for us that he'd give us freely. And I sold my soul and gave 110% to the devil and got ripped off every time. And so, anyway, that's our enemy, and this is our Savior, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. What is he? He started it, right? He made it all possible. All things are possible through him. That's any good. I mean, he can't be tempted. He doesn't tempt. But then it says, by the word of our testimony. Oh, by the way, he's also the good shepherd who brings us lambs through, isn't he? He's the one that finishes the work he began in us. And so here we sit, and it says, by the word of our testimony. What is that testimony about? Well, it's about him, isn't it? It's saying our testimony, well, let me tell you what it is first. It isn't about me, really. I mean, I might be involved in it, but it's really about him. It's not a way to rebuke somebody in this room by putting a little twist on it to nail the guy that got the orange hat on or something, you know. And I won't mention names, but everybody knows who. No, that's not a testimony. That's witchcraft. That's what that is. We pray that way sometimes. Not we. I'm not insinuating anyone here does. But don't be manipulated by that. We are to pray a prayer of faith that will move God to move on whatever we're praying about. But anyway, this testimony, what does it say? When we get up and get a testimony, we're saying that God is faithful. The Lamb is faithful. He will do what he said he will do for us. And I'm standing here, testifying. If I went into a court and said, I'm going to testify that I know a guy that his third cousin saw that robbery, it wouldn't be permissible, would it? No, I didn't see it. So they wouldn't let me near the place. No, a testimony is something that happened that I know about. I was there. It says to be ready in and out of season with that testimony. But it's not to boast of my sin or glorify sin. We hear testimonies. We sometimes call them me-a-monies, or how bad I was and how I did all this and that back in whenever. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the fool boasts of his sin. If anybody knows where that is, I'd like to know. By the way, I looked at it. I couldn't find it this afternoon, but I know it's there. It's eternal, so if it was there last week, I know it's still there. You see, he's faithful. He doesn't pull the rug out from under us. He's faithful. He doesn't change. And so, what do we do? Somebody gets up, and you give a testimony, you give hope to somebody, right? There's somebody out there sitting there that needed to hear that. Doesn't Paul say that you are living letters? Not of stone. But your testimony, what Jesus did for you, is written on your heart for all to read. Now, it may not be good reading for everybody, but there's some out there that desperately need that, to see that, because they're hurting. They're in great need. And what does it do? You know, it's good for me to give the testimony too, because it reminds me of God's faithfulness. You know, sometimes I need a little wake-up call because I forgot. I get in this rut and I'm going along and it's just ho-hum. And I can remember many times that, you know, and all of a sudden something happens where I give my testimony, and it could be about anything that God's done. And wow, I'm all revved up again. Why? Because didn't he say it's better to give than to receive? It's better. So when you give, you will be blessed. When you give in the name of the Lord for his glory. And so it says we should be ready in and out of season. And that one of the things that shows one of the things about a testimony is it'd be from our personal experience, right? And I had this personal experience. Many of you heard it, but when I was a young Christian, I went into withdrawal, and I was vomiting blood. Excuse me, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I was hallucinating, and I was so sick I didn't care if I lived or not. But I did have a peace that if I died, I'd be okay. In fact, I knew I'd be a lot better than I was at that moment. But my wife Lisa and the other couple downstairs, they prayed for me. You know, I got so bad. I was talking about a baseball game going on in the room, and she goes, you know, she got really upset then. She goes off and called some doctor, and the doctor says, "You got to get him to Strong. Don't take him to Brockport. They can't treat him." You know, all this. They come up and tell me that, and I said, "I'm not going. I'm freezing." And I always liked it cold when I was younger. And my buddy says to me, "Well, we're going to go warm up the car. Get ready because you're going." And they went back downstairs. So I would get wake up every 10, 15, 20 minutes, get sick, just wretched, horrible, and then pass back out. And this went on for 4 or 5 hours. And so I woke up, and I thought, well, you're going to get sick again. And I didn't. I felt really good. And I thought, you know, don't move, whatever you do. If you move, you're going to mess it all up and get sick. So I didn't move for a while. Then So I got up, I went down, got some water. I was doing pretty good there. And I hear them coming upstairs. And they said, "How do you feel?" I said, "Good." And they said, "We know." And I said, "How do you know?" And they said, "Well, we asked Jesus to touch you." Now, something you got to understand is that I didn't believe in divine healing. I thought they'd gone around the bend. I just didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and the prophecy and all that. And so I got up the next morning. I've never wanted to drink since. I'm not going to go into all the details. My point is this, is that I worked with a guy, and he spent whatever time we spent working together, he spent trying to tear that testimony down. And he said, he had all this, and I'd say, well, and one of the things he said was, well, you knew they were praying for you. It was psychosomatic. I says, I didn't know they were praying for me, and I wouldn't have believed it anyway. And so we went back. Finally, he throws up his hands. He says, "Well, I think your soul just came in line with the rest of the universe, and you don't drink anymore." And I thought, I think I won this debate here. I mean, don't, you know, I was young and foolish. I don't debate about the word. You know, debates are based in pride. And if we over and whip up on one group, they're not going to change their attitude, their mind towards us. They're going to go home and study, come and get us next week, right? So what's a debate to? Maybe you get a guy in the middle of it. But my point is this. You were there when God did whatever for you in that testimony. And I don't care who comes against it. You know the truth because you were there. I don't care how eloquent the speaker is that comes against you. How bright his the intellectual is, how full his notebook of rebuttal is. You were there, and he will never turn his lie into the truth. And you can stand fast in that. You want to remember that. That you don't need to back off because you don't know this or that, or this guy can talk. But no. God did it for you, and that is it. You were a witness to it. That's why you can testify, right? And so, let's see here. What does it do? It recounts God's blessing and goodness to us, doesn't it? To all of us. You know, you could give a testimony tonight, and it may not touch maybe 2 or 3 people here, but you know what? Next week, it might get 4 or 5 more. See? Because what? The testimony, you always put the Word of God into it somewheres. Because it isn't based on what I'm saying. Oh, Ryan got healed and got delivered, so God healed. No, it is written that God will heal and deliver and save, and therefore I believe it. And Ron just testified that it does happen. You see the difference? What if I taught you week after week that God heals, and you believe that God heals, but every week I say, well, I had this disease and he healed me. I had that disease and he healed me. So you believe that God heals, but only because I keep getting healed. Well, what about I don't make it? I don't show up next week. If it's based on my health, you just lost your belief in healing. You want to base everything you believe on the Word of God. That's what it's based on. And so what are we doing? When we testify the Lamb of God made all this, he accomplished it, it's finished, it's done. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Why? We need to abide in him, wait on him, watch him, reflect him, become like him, listen to him. Soak up his words, get the mind of Christ, the heart of the Father, the joy of the Lord. And so, what do? We've all have needs, don't we? We all have, you know, I got a list of them here. I was lonely, even rejected, but he came to me, and he brought others to me that I wasn't lonely and rejected anymore. That's pretty good. You know, again, I can reflect on the world when I needed a lot of them the most. They weren't to be found. Something like the prodigal, remember that story? When the money's gone, so are his friends, is what I meant to say, I'm sorry. And so I was depressed and confused, and he comforted me and gave me a clear vision. Never been depressed or confused. Afraid, and he gave me courage. He taught me how to war. I was overwhelmed. I was weak and he gave me strength. I was cornered and he became my door of escape. I was hopeless. Oh, here we go. I was hopeless and he gave me hope and faith. I was sick and he healed me. I was enslaved and he broke my chains. I was broke. He became poor that I might be rich. You see, it's about him. It's about me or the testifier being helpless or in trouble of some kind. And here he comes and rescues us. And we just get up and say that so that somebody else can be encouraged. Now, I would like anyone that would have a testimony to come forward that would like to, that feels prompted to. We've all got testimony. But as you're prompted by the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to come up because there's people that need to hear what you got to say tonight. There aren't no second-class citizens in this kingdom of his. You know, nobody's any less because they're not sitting up here talking. Nobody. And it's really warped to think, you know, because like I said, I probably wouldn't be here ever if it wasn't you guys praying for me. So there's a testimony for you. So anyone, please come and testify of God, the Lamb of God. He said he'd do this stuff and I read about it and he did it. Come on. Praise you, Lord. Be exalted, oh God. Be glorified.
Is it on?
Yeah.
I could give you testimony for hours because I've lived a lot of years and I wasn't always a Christian and many, many things I suffered. And only recently I have realized how when God let me suffer, I learned. But just 2 weeks ago, I experienced a miracle. Because you see, I was told God loved me. But because of the way that I was brought up, my parents did everything they could. But by all those experiences, I could even read it in the Bible and know that God loved me. But I didn't believe it in here. And so I was riding down the road one morning, sputtering away. It's amazing how he comes in when we sputter. And I stopped at a stop sign. I'm out in the country. I crossed the road with my car, and something happened. Something happened to me. And I don't know as I can put it totally into words, but there... words, but there was this brightness that came as I'm driving along. This brightness came inside of me, and I'm not one to cry because I'm a hider. I've been hiding all my life. The tears began to flow, but it wasn't out of sadness. It was out of this glorious feeling that came through me, and as I pulled the car over, and I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden I said, God loves me. Because in that moment, just 2 weeks ago, was the first time that I felt it deeply, totally within me. I wasn't trying to get there. It just happened because God came in.
Amen. Thank you.
Very good.
Amen. It's always a good start that God loves you. We go through the rest of it. We got the answer. Right? Praise his name. Someone else. Hold it close to your mouth.
Yeah. I don't know why the Lord's having me share this, but maybe it's an encouragement for people that are praying for others for their salvation. But the Lord just reminded me of when, before I was saved, I was off into, I don't want to do the glorify the sin thing, but I was involved in the occult and different things, and was very distraught and attempted to take my life. And while I was kind of laying there waiting to die, I heard this little voice say, but you don't know where you're going. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to be some kind of spirit, because of my involvement in the occult, thinking I'm going to be some kind of spirit floating out there. And so I called a friend, and sure, maybe weeks afterwards I was saved, but the reason I feel the Lord wants me to share that is so that we continue in prayer, because we're not always going to see the result of when we plant a seed or when we pray for somebody. But somebody I know where I had worked, when I think back, was probably a Christian, and maybe she had been praying for me. But I share that as an encouragement to, and as a testimony of God's faithfulness to answer prayer. And even when we don't see it, he's working. And in the unsaved, I mean, I could have cared less about God, and he cared enough about me to say that to me at that point in my life.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone? Anyone? He promises to answer prayer. He doesn't promise that I'll see the answered prayer. I remember when I first moved to McNaughton Street, there was someone exhorted us to pray for Lyle Avenue. And so I went up Lyle Avenue every day I went to work. And so I would pray along to on my way to work every morning. And I was talking to this gentleman, I don't know, 8 years later from when we started. And someone would get talking about prayer, and I said that and told him about praying. And to my knowledge, I'd never seen or knew of anything that changed. And he says, oh, I live on the corner of Lyle and Cameron Street. And the Lord came and visited that house. Now, that isn't for my glory, that's His. Who knows? There could be hundreds of people praying that. The important thing is that He's glorified. And so, anyone else? Anyone? Okay. Yes, so.
I had a divine appointment today, and it was like, first of all, God was blessing me because He got me in contact with friends from like 30 years ago. But, you know, sometimes you ask God, you want Him to do things in your life, and you don't think about how He can do that. And sometimes you're close to missing it because maybe he brings these things and we overlook it because it's inconvenient or whatever. And so anyway, I got this invitation to come to this lady's house. And it was kind of inconvenient and last minute. And the tendency was to just say, oh, well, and just let it go by. But I was going to see these friends if I came there, you know. So I set myself to go, not thinking it would be a really good experience, not sure what it was going to be, but it thinking it was an inconvenience for my time because I don't have a lot of time on the weekend. And so anyway, I went, and I had a really blessed time while I was there and rekindled relationships and everything. It was really great. And then the people that were there had to go on their trip, and I stayed for a while, and we visited, and then I got ready to go. And I drove all the way home from Chilai Avenue, which is about a 15-minute drive. And when I got into my garage, I went to grab my purse, and it wasn't there. So I realized I had left it there and had to turn all the way around and go back. Now I'm thinking my time is ticking away, and I need to be back here for rehearsal at 3 o'clock, and all the things that I could be doing at home other than going to get my purse. So, but I had to have it. So I turned around, went back, and I got there, and the lady was waiting there for me to give it to me right at the door, and I came inside, and we said a couple words to each other, and it suddenly just led into some really deep stuff, you know? And so we talked for a very long time, and there were a lot of tears and so forth, and ended up being there at least an hour, I think. And but God made a connection there that was very important, and I believe God wants to use it. He wants us to stay connected. There's something happening. But I was blessed, but she was too, you know, and the thing was that I sincerely believe that God wanted us to pray together. And that's why I forgot my purse, you know. I mean, I could have missed it because I could have said, well, I'm going to put this off and just go back another day or something to get it. But because of the urgency to have it, you know, I did it begrudgingly. And God just overwhelmed me with the blessing from this experience. So I guess my testimony is that God just works in unexpected ways, you know? And even if it's an inconvenience, he's inconveniencing you so He can love you. It's amazing.
Well, I'd like to just spend a moment in prayer that we would have testimonies. In that list I read, that, you know, we've probably a few of us have been in that position of great need or need of healing or some kind of break or deliverance or an end to the confusion and depression. And so let us pray with one another. I'd like you to break up in small groups, 3 or 4 at the most, and just pray for one another, okay? Would you do that? Thank you.